thank you guys for helping out. You know, just so you don't know, last week, obviously, we had Derek Micken come in view of a call for our next pastor of worship. And we had a meeting that afternoon, took a vote. Just report on that for some of you guys who weren't here. We had a 98% approval rate for Derek to be our next music minister here at Calvary Baptist Church. So he will be coming probably January 1st is going to be his start date for our next worship pastor. So we look forward to that. Be glad to have him here. He is excited. I talk to him often. He kind of sends me texts and calls and all kinds of things. One of the things he said is, be sure and take care of my team. So I'm assuming he's talking about the worship team. I'm going to tell him we've got one new member now. So so he's excited about coming. He is looking forward to being here. He is really looking for big things to happen in 2013 with our church. And I hope you guys, too, are as well. So be sure and welcome him when he gets here. After the first year, he's got a couple kids that got to finish for their school for the semester, and then get moved here. Obviously, the holidays played a part of that as well. He wanted to be at home for at least one more time for the holidays with family. So that's what's going on with him. Just to give you an update on that. So hope you're excited about that. Good. All right. So let's get into our last message on the end times. We're getting ever closer to December 21st, right? Everybody partying it up because it's going to end, right? Okay, yeah, maybe you're not. Today we're going to be talking about something that we don't like to talk about a lot. We're talking about a word that's got a negative connotation in our world. It sounds a little bit biting, sounds a little bit cruel, a little unfair. You know, when our culture says these things, we kind of shrink back. But we're talking about a word called judgment. Talking about judgment. And we hear so many people say today, well, don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? And we have this, you know, conveniently lifted out of our world. We've taken this trait from ourselves and pushed it away and said, no, we don't want to judge people because what's right in their mind, you know, may not be right in my mind, because what's right in my mind may not be right in their mind. So I don't want to judge them for anything. And we've done that today in our culture, in our world. And because of that, we've kind of taken that out of God as well. We do serve a loving God. He is a loving God. We think, well, He's just a loving God. He's not a God of judgment. He doesn't do these things. Well, yeah, that's partially true. He is a loving God. But judgment of God is a major theme throughout Scripture. It's seen over 600 times if you read through the Bible. You see it there over 600 times, and it's something that's not preached about very often. You know, when we think about judgment, we think about these old-time preachers who are you know, pulpit pounders, right? Pounding on the pulpit, preaching about fire and brimstone. That's what we think about. That's what comes to our mind. And but the Bible says there are books written about the judgment of God that's coming. And if I preach about the judgment of God, it's not going to make many of you guys say amen and jump up and down and scream, right? You're not going to get real happy about it. But one of these days, we're going to have to stand before God and give an account for ourselves, and God is going to do an audit on our lives. He's going to. Before we go any further in this, I want you to understand one thing. That there is a difference between the word judgment and the word punishment. They're two different things, and we do not need to confuse these two. You can't confuse judgment and punishment, because those who are believers, if you're a follower of Christ, if you have bowed the knee to Jesus Christ and said, yes, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, you will not be punished, but you will be judged. You will be judged. Only those who have rejected Jesus, rejected Him as Lord and Savior, those will receive both. They will be judged and they will be punished. So this is the third message in the series we're talking about at the end of the world. The first week we talked about, are you ready? And we said we don't need to get caught up in the why of things. We don't need to get caught up especially in the when of things. Nobody knows when these things are going to happen. We really don't even know the order and how it's going to happen. We just don't need to get caught up in this. What we need to understand is who this is about. And this is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Him, about you, and what this has to do with you in the end times, and then what you need to do about it. So we said we've got to make sure that we understand these things. This is where we come from. We don't get caught up in any of the other things, about all this other data that doesn't make any sense, that doesn't matter to us. We need to make sure that we stay focused on that. Last week we talked about the signs of the time and how all these things will play out, the tribulation and the millennium and the second coming of Christ and all these things. That's what we talked about last week. Was the thing that's going on. Today we're going to be concluding the series, and we're going to talk about the judgment of God and the judgment of Christ, and we're going to see about what this is, what it's all about, and what the benefits to it are, and understand a little bit more about the judgment of God. So we said last week the rapture happens and you got a tribulation and we've got these things. We don't necessarily know the order when it happens, but after the rapture comes the judgment seat of God. This is also known as the Bema seat, the B-E-M-A, the Bema seat of God, the judgment seat. And there's going to be something that's happened. So what is this judgment seat of Christ all about? Well, for believers, this is going to be a place of sorrow. For believers, if you're a believer in this room, when you come to the judgment seat of God, the Bema seat of God, the Bema seat of Christ, it's going to be a place of sorrow for you, because this is a time of truth-telling. This is a time of exposure. It's a time of vulnerability for you. And everything that you've ever done wrong is going to be brought out. Every thought that you've ever had wrong is going to come to light. It's going to be a coming clean of everything in your life. It's going to be a shock. It's going to be a little awe. It's going to be a little bit of amazement for you to stand there and be able to look over your life and see these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. If you don't have your Bible, I'm going to be skipping around a lot today. It's going to be a lot of different verses to kind of look at where all this comes into play. I've got the scripture on the screen behind you, behind me, I guess, if you don't have your Bibles. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, "Therefore, don't judge anything prematurely before the Lord comes, who will both bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and reveal the intentions and the hearts, and then praise will come to each one from God." You see, this is a time when everything that was in the darkness will be brought to light. The things that you think you've hidden away and tucked away so tightly as a believer that nobody else needs to see and nobody else wants to see, when you stand before the Bema seat of Christ, He's going to show it. It's going to come out. And you say, "Well, Pastor Mike, that's pretty negative. I thought I was a believer in Christ. I thought that Jesus took all my sins and washed them away, that He looks at me as if I'd never sinned before." Well, yeah, that's true. I thought you said that this was for believers, for followers. It is. You see, this seat, this Bema seat, where this comes from, it comes from the Greek games that they used to have back then. They would have these Olympic-style games, and you have the judge would sit on the Bema seat where he could see all the events and see everything that was taking place, and he would judge how well the participants played the game and made sure that they did everything correctly the way that they were supposed to. You see, the same thing that we're standing before a judge right now. You see, Jesus is seated on that Bema seat where He sees everything that we do as believers, as followers of Him. And He's judging everything that we do right now, and He sees every little aspect, every little thought, every little hidden thing in your life. He sees it. And we spend more time, you know, on this earth speculating who's going to win the Heisman Trophy. And we spend more time speculating who's going to win the Emmys or the Grammys or who's going to win all these awards on TV. And we think about all these things, and we pursue our own earthly rewards. But yet, we forget about one thing, that there's more important things coming. It's called these heavenly rewards that God is judging. We worry about the things on earth more than we worry about the things in heaven. Now, one thing you need to remember is when I say that this is for believers, it is for believers. You say, well, why is he judging every thought that we did wrong and every bad thing that we did wrong and all these other things? Why is he judging that? This is not for your eternal security. If you're a follower of Christ, your eternal security is there. It's not to see if he's going to let you in heaven or not, or judge, okay, does your bad outweigh your good, or does your good outweigh your bad? He's not judging that. He's judging you for what you did with what he gave to you after you came to Christ. He's judging you to see if you used what he gave you, or did you waste it? Did you waste the time that he gave you on this earth to build up those heavenly rewards that's coming? And all of us have to go through this as believers in Christ. You see, we all have a certain amount of time that's on this earth. Every one of us have maybe 60, 70, 80 years, maybe 90 years. And depending on when you came to Christ, he's going to say, okay, I'm giving you talents, I've given you abilities, and I've given you words to say. Did you use them? Did you use them wisely? Did you use them for my sake? Or did you squander it for your own? And you're going to be judged for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. You see, we're all going to stand before that seat. But many of us want to leap over it. We want to just shoot past that judgment seat of Christ. Because for many of us, you may get into heaven, but you may be getting in by the skin of your teeth. Because there's going to be dropped heads. There's going to be tears. There's going to be sick stomachs. Because all of us have blown opportunities. We have gifts that we haven't used, that we haven't tapped into. We've neglected our chances to serve on this earth. I recently, starting in October, I read through the entire Bible in 40 days. And one of the things that God just really, really showed me that I really haven't noticed before as much as I did this last time was how many times throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that God said we need to take care of those who are less fortunate. How we need to take care of the needy, how we need to serve them, how we need to provide, how we need to take care of them. And I never noticed it before I read through that in 40 days. How many of us are squandering the opportunity when we have so much to not give it away? It convicted me. Hit me right where I hurt the most. Are we all going to get to heaven one of these days and we're going to stand before that judgment seat of God? And he's going to say, why did you squander it? Why did you waste it? I gave it to you to give away. We're going to have the shame that's coming over our lives. Maybe because of a lack of purity. Maybe because we cheated on our spouses. Maybe because we lied to make an extra buck. Maybe because we pursued pornography on internet and on other avenues. Maybe because men who like to talk commitment and service and involvement that were actually very, very shallow in their life. Maybe shame over people who just cruise through life, not worried about God, not worried about those things. Missed opportunities. All of them. And we're all going to have to go through it. I told you this wasn't going to make you say amen. That's what's coming. How does that make you feel when you think about this in your life today? Remember, this is not about when or what's going to happen, but this is about you. How do you change that? When you think and you know that this is coming down the road, when you look at your life right now, do you say, God, I need to change something now. I need to make a difference now because I don't want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have my head dropped and shamed over these missed opportunities. The warning is here. It's today. You can change it now. Make a difference. You see, we all have this head knowledge about God. We all have these head knowledge of things. We've got the answers. Some of you have been to more Bible studies than you know what to do with. But you didn't share Jesus with the people around you. You got all this up here in your head and you're thinking, oh, I'm great. I've got all this knowledge, but you didn't share it with anybody. Missed opportunities. It's going to be a place of sorrow for a lot of us. But it's also going to be a place of reward. It's also going to be a place of reward. It's when Jesus will hand out the rewards. Remember the verse just said, for we're going to be rewarded. We're going to be repaid for the things that we've done, bad or good. So the good things that you do in your life, you're going to get rewards for that. And how many of you like rewards? Y'all like trophies? Everybody like, yeah, we like to get trophies, right? I like trophies. And some of you say, well, rewards are great. That's all good. I just want to get in heaven. I just want to be there. But all these things that we like to have, the cash, the careers, the corner offices, the trophies standing up on the shelves, all these things are all good. They're great. Kids love to have trophies. How many of you, your kids like to have trophies all over your room, their rooms? You know, mine do. They have football trophies, all these things. They got them all stacked up. Well, God's got this huge inventory of trophies that he wants to hand out to each and every one of us to present to you. Because guess what? He's your biggest fan. He's watching you from above and cheering you on and wanting you to do good and wanting to do all these things and to develop the gifts that he's given you, all the resources that he's placed in your life. He wants you to use them for him. And he's given you this place, the church, to do it in. This is where we get to come together and use the gifts and the abilities and the talents that he's given us to gain these rewards that he's wanting to give out. He gave you the Holy Spirit in your life to inspire you, to challenge you, to make you step up and move past and do more. He's given you all this stuff. He's written vision and God's word to explain to us to how to involve ourselves in this process. So it's going to be a place of reward. You may be thinking, well, why doesn't God just do this, you know, like as we die? Why does he wait till the end of times when everybody all comes together and then we're all standing in, you know, this big, long Disneyland line, you know, waiting to get to the judgment seat? That's kind of how I picture it, you know. You got those, what are those things that go back and forth, the line? Is there a name for that? The line of eternity, that's what I'm going to call it. You know, you're going back and forth, and you walk 5 foot, and it's, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. Making sure you're still awake, you know. So you wait till everybody's right there at the last time. Why does he wait? Why didn't he just do it when every one person dies? You know, you kind of have a steady stream of people coming through the judgment seat. Well, here's why. Because your legacy doesn't stop when you die. Do you realize that? Just because you die doesn't mean your legacy dies with you. The influence that you have right now can continue on. For those of you who have children and grandchildren and maybe even great-grandchildren, your legacy can continue on past yourself. So you may continue to get rewards after you pass away. So why do you want to sell yourself short? You don't want to, do you? Hey, you want to keep going. You want to get some more. So, our work doesn't finish when we die. Our sphere of influence doesn't end when we lay our bodies in a casket. It keeps going. Keeps going. So, what are these rewards that we're going to get? Well, there's five of them that I'm going to list today. Five rewards for today. The first one is the reward of incorruption. The reward of incorruption. This is for the people who have lived a disciplined life and developed spiritually in your life. You've matured yourself spiritually. Spiritual development is not something that just happens overnight. It's developed. It takes time in a discipline, doing prayer, memorizing scripture, fasting, journaling, all these things. This develops yourself spiritually. And for those who have done a good job at this, you receive the reward of incorruption. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 and 27 says, "Therefore, I do not run like the one who runs aimlessly, or box like one who beats the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control, so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified." You see, Paul understood that it was a discipline that had to come and take place in your life. So the reward of incorruption. Second reward is the reward of life. The reward of life. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is a man who endures trials, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that he has promised to those who love him." The crown of life. These are given to the people who've endured trials. Maybe illnesses that have gone through your family, or periods of tragedy or sickness, or maybe fires, houses burning, all these things. Bad things in your life. Trials that come through life that are tough to deal with. People who endure these and endure these well, with honor and with respect to God, they will be given the reward of life. The reward of life, seen in James 1:12. The third one is rejoicing. The reward of rejoicing. These are handed out to those who express and articulate their faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 19 and 20. We have that one up. There we go. "For who is our hope, or joy, or crown of boasting in the presence of our Lord Jesus at this coming? Is it not you?" See, there was a joy and a hope that Paul knew of when he wrote about this. He shared his faith with those people at the church at Thessalonica, and because of that, that was his joy. That was what he took joy in, was that, the rejoicing. And the next reward is the reward of glory. The reward of glory. This is for those who teach the good news, who teach Scripture. If you've shared Scripture or shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will receive the reward of glory with others. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." That's what that one is about. The last one, the reward of righteousness. The reward of righteousness. These are the people who kept one eye on the things of this earth and the other eye on the things of heaven. You didn't keep all your focus on things of God, of the earth. You didn't keep your focus there. You looked on both things. You understand that everything is waiting the return of Jesus Christ. You kept your eyes on heaven, and you connected the two together. 2 Timothy chapter 4. "In the future there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing." You've waited for that. You've looked for that. You've longed for that, knowing that Jesus is coming back one of these days. So what if it happened right now? What if this judgment happened today? Would there be trophies and cheers when you stood before Jesus Christ? Would there be rewards and awards that came to you? Or would you have your head dropped in sorrow and shame over all the missed opportunities, over all the rewards that you could have gotten, but you didn't have because you missed out? What will it be? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "Each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work." You see, we're all working. If you have signed up for the team, if you said yes to Jesus, "I'm following you," He's watching you. He's judging your work. And some of the things that you're investing in, some of the things that you're putting all your marbles in, the baskets, the that you're putting all your marbles into, some of it's going to burn up. Some of it's going to burn away. Some of it may make it. It may smell like smoke because it just barely made it in. But the judgment is coming. And for me, as your pastor, I want you to see the rewards. I want it to be a happy day, a day of rejoicing for you when you stand before the bema seat of Christ. I don't want it to be a day of sorrow. So I'm giving you the warning now. God is speaking to your heart right now, knowing that there's things that you're missing out on, things that you need to be doing, conversations that you haven't had with people. Don't wait. He may come tomorrow. You may be standing before the bema seat of Christ tomorrow, and you've missed out. Don't wait. See the rewards. Well, after this judgment seat of Christ, there's a final judgment that comes. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And there's lots of other judgments that happen throughout the book of Revelation. These are the two major ones. Now this judgment, the Great White Throne Judgment, this one is only for non-believers. This one is only for those who have not given their life to Christ. And you think, well, what do you mean? Well, this is where God stands before. He looks at the people who have not given their life to Christ, and He judges them for the things that they did. And from there, they have an eternal home called hell. And you say, well, I thought we served a good God that doesn't throw people to hell. Well, He doesn't. You send yourself there. You choose it. You see, whatever you choose on this earth, God will give you in eternity. If you want distance from God on this earth, He's going to give you distance from Him forever in eternity. He's just giving you what you want. If you want to be close to God on this earth, and you chose that by following Jesus, then you're going to have closeness with God for eternity. He's giving you what you want. He's giving you what you want. You see, this place of hell and utter torment, it's not designed for us. It's not designed for humans. It was designed for the devil and his demons, those that follow him. But because we chose that direction, that route, He's given it to us as well. Those who reject Jesus will end up there in this place, and it's their choice. So what happens at this Great White Throne Judgment? You think, well, you got this guy standing up on God or Jesus standing on behind this bench, and he's like a courtroom kind of thing, but it's not really like a courtroom. There's no high-priced attorneys. You know, Johnny Cochran's not going to be there representing anybody. That's not what takes place. People are going to try to defend themselves. Believers are going to see this. We're going to be watching all this take place, this white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 talks about it. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from His presence, and no place was found for them." This is where the perfect standards that God set up comes into play. This is where all accounts are settled, one way or another. Where bonuses are given out, penalties are given out. You know, He is a God of love. He's a God of grace and forgiveness. But He also has to balance that out as a God of wrath, a God of justice, a God of conviction and judgment. He's holy. Therefore, He must judge things that are unholy. 2 Peter 3:9. "But because He's patient, the Lord does not delay His promise, as some understand delay, but He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but to all to come to repentance." He wants everybody to come, nobody to go through this great white throne judgment. That's God's desire. But because we chose these things, it has to come to place. Jesus will stand at the bench and He'll conduct the trial. He's the one that's most qualified to do this. He's the only one that went through, that kept the law to the perfect degree, never wavered, never failed on anything. He did everything that he could to save mankind. He gave his own life for that. And again, this is not to determine if you're a believer or not. It's up to the book of life to determine that. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. It says, I also saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. You see, every name of every person who has received Christ, their name is written in the book of life. And they will not have to come to receive God's wrath because their name was written there. But for those who have not accepted Jesus Christ, their name will not be written in the book of life. And they will be judged during this great white throne judgment. And they're going to have this endless eternity called hell. A place of fire. A place of perpetual pain. A place of utter isolation, of utter darkness. You know, one thing that I always tell people is that if you're born once, you're going to die twice. You die once on this earth and then you die again at the end times. But if you're born twice, you're born once as a person, then you're born again as a child of God, you only die once. And that's on this earth. Revelation chapter 21, verses 4 through 8. It says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will exist no longer. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, Look, I am making everything new. He also said, Write, because these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the thirsty from the spring of living water as a gift. The victor will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowards, the unbelievers, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Born once, you die twice. You're born twice, you die only once. I don't know about you. I'm not much into dying. I think I'll take once. So when we meet Jesus, you're going to either meet Him as a Savior on this earth, or you're going to meet Him as a judge in eternity. One way or the other. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11 says, For this reason God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and those on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, everybody will bow to Him. You can either do it right now on this earth when you have time, again as a Savior, as a God of grace and mercy, or you can wait, live your life the way you want to on this earth. Do whatever you want to. Snub your nose at God and the church and the things of God. And then you're going to bow later to a God of wrath and judgment. The choice is ours. That's the choice that we have. We either bow now or we bow later. one way or the other. God is compassionate. He is patient. But one of these days, His patience will run out. It will run out. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Tell them. This is God telling Ezekiel to tell His people this. He says, tell them, as I live, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but would rather that the wicked person should turn from his way and live. Repent. Repent of your evil ways. You see, God wants everybody to come to Him. God's desire is that we bow the knee to Him now. That we don't miss out on all the glorious things that He has for each and every one of us. I take no thrill in describing what's coming for those who don't. Place of terror. It's a place of trial. Place of sorrow. A place of weeping. But again, I knew this message was not a message to make you feel good. It's not a message to make you all happy on the inside, but there is a benefit to this. There is a benefit to listening to something like this, and here's why. Because when you get jolted by the judgment that is coming, it's gonna spur you to act, to move, to look at your life and to say, I need to reevaluate some things here. There's some things that I need to do better. You may become more accountable for what's going on in your life, more responsible for every thought that you have in your mind, for every attitude that's in your heart, for every word that comes out of your mouth, for every action that your hands do. You may think of these in a different light when you say, well, God is looking at me. He's going to judge me for the things that happens. Yes, they're forgiven. Yes, I'm still going to heaven, but it may cost me something later down the road. It's going to inspire you to live a holy life, to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to God, to mirror your Maker, to understand how serious that sin is. We get caught up so much in our world, in our Christianity life, that we think, okay, well, once I give my life to Jesus, I'm all good. I don't have to worry about this anymore. Yes and no. Yes, it's been forgiven. Yes, God looks at you as if you'd never sinned before. But everything that you do will be brought up again. And it can be a time of sorrow for you. Maybe it's going to urge you to live a little more strategic in your life. To realize that God has rewards for you. Trophies. Where there will be cheers. And laughter and joy. But yet you've been missing out on it because you haven't been strategic with the things that God's given you. The talents. The abilities. The resources. Maybe you've given some money, but compared to what you have, it really hadn't been much. Maybe it's going to help you understand the implications for everybody that you look at when you walk up and down the street or when you walk down the aisles in Walmart and you lock eyes with somebody else. The eternal implications that they have, to know that they have a judgment that's coming. Maybe for friends that you know are far from Christ. They're going to stand before the great white throne judgment one of these days. If they don't bow the knee to Christ now, they're going to bow later. To understand that those that you know who are far from God are facing an eternity in a place called hell that I just cannot describe standing here before you. But I promise you, nobody wants to be there. So believers, How long did you test the patience of God? How long did you test the patience of God before you said yes? Believers, are you testing the patience of God now by not doing what He's telling you to do? For those maybe in the room, this many people in here, there's probably somebody, if not a few, who haven't bowed the knee to Christ yet. How long have you tested the patience of God? How much longer are you going to test His patience? The time to come clean with God is now. If you want to escape the trial and the terror that's coming in the end, don't wait any longer. God is patient, but it will run out. One of these days, the shout will come. God's people will go, and it's going to be too late for those who haven't. Don't wait too late. The signs are here. It's coming soon. Let's pray. Father, this is your time. God, the time that we commit to you. Father, I pray for this time that we would, God, that we would focus on you. Father, we pray that you take away all distractions from us. God, that we're not thinking about what we've got to do this afternoon or where we're going to go. But Father, we're concerned about what you want us to do right now. Father, give us the courage to do and make the decisions. To move to action. This morning. God, let your Spirit work in this place. God, let your Spirit work in each of our hearts. Let us get right with you this morning. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Here in just a moment, they're going to lead us in our time of commitment. If God has spoken to you this morning, for whatever it may be, if you need to come down front and just pray, just get on your knees before God and maybe confess something that you know in your heart that God has convicted you of, I encourage you to do that. If you're in this room today and you don't know where your eternal salvation is or rests, I want to talk to you about that. Maybe if you're in this room and you've never given your life to Christ, you don't even know what that means or what it looks like or how it happens. I want to talk to you about that. However God's spoken to you right now, now's the time you do business with Him. Don't leave this room. It's all great to have this nice convicted feeling, this tingly feeling on the inside and do something about it and pray down front. But if you walk out of this place and don't make a change, you're not doing anything. Do business with God and stick with Him. Now's the time you do it. Let's stand as our group leads us this morning.
Sweet to trust in Jesus and to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise and to know the same.
More. Oh, how sweet to trust Him.
So go ahead and make your way down front. We've come to a time of our service where we take up an offering. Again, if you're a guest with us this morning, the only thing we expect from you, we'd like to have from you, is that communication card, just to have a record of you being here. Also, if God maybe talked to you, spoke to you about something, and you didn't feel comfortable coming down front to make a decision, you can mark that on that card, turn it in, and I'll be in touch with you about that during the week. So however God spoke to you, you can talk to us about that as well. Last week we took up a love offering for Lisa Kiefer. That's Ryan Nix's mom. I know she's been staying up in